Helpful if you have open in front of you that passage, and we're going to think particularly about the phrase that appears twice in those two little sections and about encouraging one another. Life this side of the fall and until Jesus returns can be discouraging, can't it? It can be dispiriting, it can be disheartening. Think about the world, think about the stories you've heard this week, war, famine. We've lived through a pandemic. We hear of persecution of the church. We hear of brutal regimes and leaders that come to power or stay in power. We hear stories of injustice and inequality and unfair treatment of people all across society. And then there's the less kind of national and global things. And then there's just the personal heartaches that we can live through. Divorce, death, a debilitating lifelong illness. All or any of those things can leave us feeling disheartened, discouraged, or in despair, can't they? Some of us have lived through some of those things. Now, that's true for everyone, but I think it's more true for those who follow Jesus because we have an added complication. We believe in a triune God who is love, who is sovereign, who is compassionate, who is just, who holds all of history in his hands, and one day will return to make everything right. And that can make it harder to live in a world where we see injustice and persecution and unfairness because we find ourselves thinking, God, what are you doing? God, why have you ordered the world like that? Why are you letting it carry on? Why don't you just come and make it all right? Why do some have so much and some have so little? Why do some who do bad things get away with it and some who do good things seem to have a hard life? I wonder, what do you do when you feel like that? Let's be honest, we all do sometimes. Sometimes it's when personal circumstances, family things press in on us. Sometimes it's when just the welter of the news of the world and the brokenness out there gets too much for us. What do you do when your faith feels weak as you look at the world? What do you do when you feel like giving up? What do you do when discouragement and disappointment gnaw away at your faith like that mouse gnawing through the electric cable? Let me flip the question. What do you do when someone else in church expresses that they are feeling that? Imagine after this morning, you ask someone how they are, and instead of giving the obligatory non-answer of I'm fine, I say, actually, I'm really struggling. Just the brokenness of the world this week has just left me really burdened, and I'm struggling to trust God in the face of that. I wonder what you'd say in response. Often people don't say it because we're British and we like that nice mask, but actually you can get a sense, can't you, that someone is struggling with that. Let's be honest, we all sometimes feel like that. Weak, troubled, discouraged. That's part of being a follower of Jesus. You read through the New Testament, there are lots of times God's people feel like that. What do we need in the face of the discouragements of the world? We need encouragement. That's true in everyday life, isn't it? I was chatting to a member of staff this week when I was getting my coffee in the morning, and I simply observed to them what a difference the work they're currently doing with some kids in school is making to those youngsters. And her face lit up, and she said, "You've made my day." Isn't that interesting? A little bit of encouragement, a little simple word of encouragement. I've seen what you're doing, and it's really good. You know, she went out of the room with a bounce in her step. Everyone needs encouragement. We know that, don't we? And in the church, we ought to encourage each other like that. We ought to share with others the impact their work and their service is having. Maybe to say to a parent, "You know, I really appreciate the love and the care you show your kids. I love the fact that you try, even though not every night, to read a Bible story with them." You might want to say to them, "You know, I really appreciate how friendly you are, that you greet me with a smile every week." Or simply, I appreciate the fact that you work hard to come every week. Or maybe to thank someone for how they sing, or how they play, or how they lead, or how they read, or how they set up chairs and toys for little fishers, or just anything they do. Now, we should do that to one another, but we ought not to stop there. In the Bible, and so in church, encouragement is actually more than just that. Let me give you a definition of biblical encouragement. Biblical encouragement is putting strength into someone by embodying and speaking God's truth to them in love. Let me give you that again. Biblical encouragement is putting strength into someone by embodying and speaking God's truth to them in love. So it may be the saying, I love what you do, I'm really encouraged by the way you're growing. It may be all those things, but actually in the church, it has that unique component of speaking God's truth. Not as we think it is, but as God reveals it in his word. Now, encouragement in the Bible in terms of speaking God's truth, encouragement is a little bit like ice cream. Okay, that got your attention, didn't it? Ice cream comes in lots of different flavors. So you might have your favorite, might be strawberry, or it might be vanilla. I mean, why would it be? It might be raspberry ripple. It might be mint choc chip. You might have gone to the ice cream farm kind of down the road and they've got Iron Brew. That's an impressive flavor. Okay, they once did a Dr. Pepper ice cream. They're quite cool. And all those different flavors, but they're still ice cream. Now, I spent some time this week looking at the different flavors of encouragement in the Bible. Here are some of the words that get translated the same way as the word encouragement. It's the same word. Urging, comforting, pleading, encouraging. In fact, even sometimes rebuking, because it's about not doing it in a harsh way, but helping someone see their sin so they turn back to God. They are all flavors of encouragement in the Bible, all designed to strengthen God's people to endure in their faith. We're going to see three things this morning as we think about our call to encourage one another. Here's the first one. Know the source of all encouragement. When you start reading the Bible with an eye out for encouragement, in all its many flavors, in urging, comforting, exhorting, pleading, you begin to see it everywhere. I came in this morning and sat and read a bit in 2 Chronicles this morning, and there was the word encouragement. The king encouraged his priests to do the work of God. I'd never spotted that before. It's interesting how just this week studying this has kind of tweaked my antennas to see encouragement. We've seen it this morning with the story of Elijah, haven't we? Here is Elijah. He is weak. He's beaten down. He's discouraged. He's ready to give up. And what does God do? God encourages him with physical comfort. He gets him to eat properly and he gets him to sleep with an angelic chef. He provides a much-needed meal. And then God meets with him and God comforts him. God strengthens him to go back and do the work of God. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because ultimately God is the God of encouragement. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. You'll notice this is the verse we started with this morning. In God's kindness, Martin chose this without me even having telling him. It was a bit of a component in the sermon. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That word comfort is the same word in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 that's encouragement. It's another flavor of the ice cream of encouragement. God is the God who encourages his people by comforting them in difficulty and putting strength in them so they can stand when life is hard. So God the Father is the God of encouragement. Let me just show you something else though. Flip back to John 14. In John 14, we looked at 13 last week. It's been the Last Supper. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Then he tells Simon Peter that he's going to deny him. Judas leaves, and that all the disciples will run away. It's not a surprise, is it, that John 14:1 starts, do not let your hearts be troubled. Here are the disciples, and they are troubled. Jesus has told them he's going away, that everything's going to change, and they are worried, they are anxious, they are fearful. And what does Jesus do? Jesus meets their trouble by teaching them God's word. He comforts them by telling them he's going to prepare a place for them and will come and get them and they can be with him. But then he goes on. Look at verse 15 onwards. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That word advocate is the same root word as the word encouragement. I will give you another comforter or encourager, one who speaks on your behalf. One who speaks words to you, one who is a helper, some translations translate it as. And notice Jesus says, I will give you a